Good evening, everybody, from Gustavus City Hall. It's Mayor Taylor. It's 7 p.m. and I'd like to call to order the November 14, 2022 general meeting. Madam Clerk, may we have a roll call, please?
Councilmember Owens?
Here.
Councilmember Driscoll?
Here.
Councilmember Taylor?
Here.
Wrong Taylor.
Oh, here I go again.
Here.
I'll get there.
Councilmember Makowiak?
Here.
Councilmember Lewis is not present tonight. Councilmember Bishop?
Here.
And Mayor Taylor?
Here.
Okay, we have six council members present and a quorum exists.
Thank you. To begin our meeting, as usual, I'd like to call on Council Member Shelley Owens to read our vision statement, please.
Thank you, Mayor. We envision a distinctive community that prospers while and by protecting its natural resources with a sustainable economy and infrastructure that assures public health and safety while promoting personal development and initiative, and where all members take social responsibility and actively participate in decision-making, affecting growth, development, regulation, and enforcement, and in which people retain a closeness with and caring for each other individually and collectively while working together to accomplish community goals and preserve community traditions.
Thank you. The next is to approve the minutes of three meetings, the October 7, 2022 Election Review Committee meeting minutes, the October 10th, 2022 General Meeting minutes, and the October 26, 2022 Special Meeting minutes. The minutes are all in our packet, and I hope we've all read through them. Entertain a motion from Council Member Janine Driscoll to approve the minutes, please.
I move to approve by unanimous consent the 10-7-22 City Council Election Review Committee meeting minutes, the October 10th, 2022 General Meeting minutes, and the October 26, 2022 Special Meeting minutes.
I'll second that.
Was that second from Councilmember Brian Taylor or Jim Muscoviac?
It's from Jim Muscoviac.
I'm not sure who. Jim Muscoviac, okay. Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Moved by Councilmember Janine Driscoll and seconded by Councilmember Jim Muscoviac to approve the minutes of the three meetings I mentioned, 10-7 City Council Election Review Meeting, the General Meeting on 10-10, and the Special Meeting for 10-26. Do any members of the public wish to make any corrections or additions to the minutes of any of those meetings? So if you're online, raise your hands. Okay, seeing none, do any council members wish to make any additions or corrections to the minutes of those three meetings? Okay, hearing none, are there any objections to approving the meetings, the minutes of these three meetings by unanimous consent? No objections, then a motion to approve the three sets of minutes is passed by unanimous consent. That brings us to Mayor's request for agenda changes. Our clerk has worked hard to get everything on this agenda. I have no need to change anything. Does anybody see any reason to reorder anything on the agenda for any reason? Okay, seeing none, we'll... the agenda is then set, and we'll move on to staff reports. and our presenters will have about 5 minutes to present their reports. We also have them in our packet in detail. So we will begin with the Gustavus Visitors Association quarterly report. Do we have somebody online from that?
That is me. Surprise. I'm double, okay, well, double duty.
Right. Council Member Brian is giving the report for the Visitors Association.
Right. Well, I'll try not to take too much of your time here with this one. It's kind of a long report, but I'll try and stick to the highlights here. Essentially, as far as what we've done in this last quarter, you know, we've maintained all of our memberships, still working with the lodge on a few things as far as placing some displays there, and are still distributing the Gustavus News Bulletin, a growing number of subscribers with every posting there, 177 now. Leah is also maintaining a GVA events calendar on the website, which is a pretty comprehensive calendar of things that are happening around town, which you can also add to your phone or your computer, your Google Calendar, et cetera. A pretty cool thing she's got going there. I could work to market that a little bit better. Probably the biggest thing I would say, at least to me, it feels like we did was welcomed Richard Cooper to one of our board meetings to have kind of a scoping and planning meeting with him, beginning to hash out more concrete details of exactly what it's going to look like when he and his crew come to Gustavus this coming summer to put together some promotional film materials. You know, what sorts of lengths are we looking for? What kind of a narrative are we looking for? It's really fun to chat with him and get kind of an idea of what we're going to try and build and what we're going to try and show them, what we want to showcase about Gustavus. And then, you know, also thinking about how we're going to use that content. Also started some communications and negotiations with some local artists and photographers to try and get rights to some of their images to use in Gustavus postcards and sell those at local stores. We'll continue. That's really, again, Leah doing that, but we'll continue pushing down that to kind of hash out more of the details. The idea is, you know, showcase diversity of artists and photographers and creative spirits we have here, as well as, you know, all the things we love about Gustavus. We also analyzed the results of a 3-month social media advertising campaign that we did with Alaska Magazine, and decided that we were getting a lot of traffic, but it wasn't very high quality traffic. And so that has informed what we're looking to do moving forward, which is kind of reinvigorating our social platforms, followings with more consistent posts from our own accounts, with the goal to hopefully in this next quarter, start running our own social media campaigns, because that seems like it'll be a more cost-effective way to get what's probably going to be higher quality traffic. We also started migrating away from the analytics platform that we have been using these last couple of years. You'll notice that the analytics reports in this report are a new format, and that's because in July of next year, Google is going to deprecate their old platform and is forcing everyone onto a new platform. I say forcing, but I think it's a significant improvement. It's just a lot of legwork to get everything in place, but it's going to give us a lot more flexibility, including the custom laid out reports that these reports here should have all of the same data we've been reporting before, as well as some new data about conversions. But we have total control over exactly how they're laid out and what they look like. So you might see these change a little bit in the coming quarterly reports as we kind of settle into a norm there. The goal is to decrease the need for man hours and make it more consistent and insightful reporting. So I welcome anyone's comments. The fun part about these new analytics reports also is that they are actually live reports and they're interactive. So any business members or members of the council who have interest in digging deeper into, you know, tighter geographies or details on any of these things that we have here, as far as, you know, what businesses are getting the most clicks to their website or phone calls or emails, et cetera. You can drill down in a lot of these. So reach out to me and I'm totally happy to get you access if you wanted to look through these as well. Let's see. We also are coming up in this next quarter, one of One of the big things I'm going to try and wrap my head around is scoping some continued major improvements for the Gustavus Visitors Association website, including but not necessarily limited to a login and member area for business members where they can access their own analytics reports. So have personalized reports about what their business profile is seeing as far as traffic and the quality thereof, as well as, you know, how many clicks to their own pages and phone numbers and emails as well. So just trying to more adequately convey the value that we are providing so that people get a really clear sense of the work that we're doing as far as the website, because that can be kind of nebulous sometimes. We'll see how far I get into that in this quarter, but that's something that I'm hoping to have launched certainly in this next year. And also something I welcome feedback on. Regarding analytics, we're kind of starting to see a little bit of the end of season slowdown. If you're looking on this first page of the analytics reports, you can kind of see in the bottom right there, the graph of users per day from August, moving from like a 60 or 70 people per day down to a maybe more winter normal of 30 people per day visiting the website, which seems to be pretty much normal for us. Now, still a lot of what we were calling conversion events, where people are, you know, clicking through to business websites. And again, same kind of decrease in trend, you know, lower number of visitors means a lower number of conversions, but seeing a lot of, at least when I started tracking these, I was rather surprised at how many conversion events we actually do have on the website and how much traffic we are driving to local businesses. So pleasant surprise there. And let's see, what else is worth mentioning here? You can note in this third page of the analytics report that, again, seeing this decline in traffic as we move through the quarter, but notably, I mean, this is kind of a big part of why we decided to not continue the Alaska Magazine advertising campaign, which was running at a cost of, I believe, $1,000 or $1,500 per month, that the strongest traffic numbers we have by a broad margin are from our organic traffic, and they're the highest converting traffic as well. And then last page of the analytics reports are just our highest number page views. So you can kind of get a sense of what the most popular content on our website is. Obviously the homepage, ferry service, pretty popular one. And then the directory pages as well, you know, getting the hotel, places to stay, et cetera. So kind of a quick and dirty there. Basically we're focusing on, you know, analyzing the advertising that we've done through the summer and then trying to set ourselves up for success with some of the initiatives that we're pushing into this next year, as well as beginning to scope out some things for some continued improvements on the website. Slow and steady wins the race here. If you do have any questions, I hope you take the time to read the report yourself. There's a lot in there, but please feel free to reach out to me or Leah. We are super happy to address any concerns that anyone has as far as the work that we're doing. With that, I'll yield the floor.
Thank you, Brian. Do any council members have any questions for Brian on this report? I've got a quick one. It's interesting the number of hits you're getting from China. And I'm wondering if you see a potential rise in the, in visitation from China here. In the 70s, we had a lot of visitors coming from Japan, and then that sort of shifted off when their outbound tourism agency kind of decided to send people to Canada instead. But I'm wondering if there's a possible rise in interest in visitation from China, and whether lodges and so forth should be thinking in terms of catering to their needs.
I think, you know, we certainly shouldn't write it off as a possibility, but I wouldn't go so far as to say that's something that's super likely. When you drill down a little bit farther into the quality of the traffic that we're getting from China, it tends to be people who arrive and don't spend more than maybe 10 seconds on the page. And that's something I could potentially do a better job of illustrating in the report, is, you know, still haven't figured out exactly how to show at all places how high of quality the traffic is. But yeah, super high bounce rate, very low engagement rate from that sector of traffic. Although we do occasionally have someone from China who comes and spends, you know, a good 5 minutes on the site.
Okay, thank you. Guess if there are no other questions, we appreciate that report from the Visitors Association. And we'll move on to the Gustavus PFAS Action Coalition quarterly report. And we have Sally McLaughlin.
Okay, thank you very much. So in August, we received notification from Lance Merrick of Alaska Department of Transportation saying that they had finally signed a notice to proceed with Shannon and Wilson for a plume stop evaluation, which is what we've been working towards for the last 4 years. So the initial details of the feasibility study is to explore several plume stop injection alternatives near the Gustavus Airport duck pond. So the first step is to review the GPAC PFM data. PFM is the passive flux meters that the city funded for us last fall, about a year ago, that we installed and then pulled out and sent in for analysis. To meet with Regenesis. Regenesis is the company that manufactures the plume stop, and with us and with DOT to identify potential injection areas and treatment goals, review other GPAC analytical data from the duck pond vicinity, and to develop cost ranges for two or three alternatives and recommend next steps. And Kelly did just start meeting today with Kristen from Shannon and Wilson to provide whatever data we have that they can use. So we're very excited that the passive flux meter data that we collected last fall is actually being put to use, and hopefully we'll see some results. And then the only other thing we have to announce or tell you is that when we originally formed our group in December of 2018, so 4 years ago, GPAC's mission included three primary goals, and those were to stop further use of PFAS, create public understanding of the full extent of the damage, and to correct PFAS damage to the fullest extent possible. And we feel like we have largely completed our work that we set out for ourselves. And we feel pretty good about that. So with that, this will be our last quarterly report to the city. We've really appreciated being able to share our work with you every, four times a year. And I've really appreciated the city's support, and we will continue to be available for you whenever you need anything.
Thank you, Sally. Do any council members have a question for Sally McLaughlin on the PFAS report?
All right.
I would like to thank you for the leadership that GPAC has provided in locally, and you've had an impact statewide in. In helping us locally and the state begin to deal with the PFAS issues. And you raised the attention on it, and we all appreciate a lot more what the issues are. And you took leadership in getting sampling going here. Gustavus is setting an example within the state for being actively dealing with the problem. So. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for that recognition. We appreciate it.
Okay. We'll move on to the disposal and recycling center report. And I believe we have Paul online for this one.
Yeah. Can you hear me okay?
We do. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm trying a new microphone setup with my smartphone and a headset, so I hope this works better. I know that the last report, there was difficulty. Hello, everyone.
Better.
And yeah, that's good. Anyway, before I get too far off on that. I've produced my report. Just kind of go over it briefly. Of course, the big highlight for me was the city's hiring of Ian as the DRC operator. And having him as a regular employee means he can start, you know, accruing benefits and doesn't have to go through the annual hiring process like the rest of the labor pool. And that's just a real important transition that's really going to help in the successional plan. So I really appreciate the council's action in that regard in September. And speaking of the pool, we're going to advertise for that. And I'm going to change, because it's been difficult to find pool members this time of year, I'm going to change it so it's basically going to be advertised the entire length of the year, starting now to the end of 2023. Because most of the people who will be available to work in the pool will be showing up or will be available in the spring and summer. So we just need a different structure that can be kind of always advertised. And then as someone is ready, we, you know, look over their application and interview them and then send our recommendation up to Kathy and the mayor. But otherwise, it's the same cycle as far as, you know, it's a year-long pool. You might be interested in the Solid Waste Training Institute's pilot project for turning plastic waste into lumber products. This is something that's been in the works for a long time, and I'm really glad that it's going to come into being. As it says in the report, Chet is hoping to set up shop in Juneau, where there's three-phase power, and kind of, you know, we'll take over small amounts because he doesn't need large amounts of material. And, you know, he'll just make a little sample to see how these various things work. But he wants to take the worst stuff that's out there and the best stuff that's out there, because it's kind of, it, the idea is to make building products out of what is available in our landfill. So that's a very interesting project, and I'm really excited to see how it goes. Things on the community chest is up and going. It's been staffing issues just because Annie's gone right now. And it's just a challenge to find people to run the counter. So we were closed last Saturday, but I've kind of looking around for more people on it. And then I did produce a section with the capital project, because we have three big capital projects at the DRC, the composting facility, the main building, and a horizontal baler. And because these are such big projects, I wanted to get kind of a format out so people could get familiar with them and form their questions, and, you know, and also to help with the funding, you know, so our potential funders can easily see what our projects are and stuff like that. So I'm hoping to develop these more in the next couple months, just to make it, you know, so people can look at, you know, what is meant by the building project or the horizontal baler project or the composting facility project, what it would potentially look like, what its cost would be. I hope to add timelines and stuff like that to it as I go forward on it, just kind of make it so people can figure out what is that, because there's a lot of concrete involved, and these are public projects built with Davis-Bacon wages, so they are very expensive projects, but very important projects for our facility, and ones that should last the facility quite a while in terms of, you know, being quality and built for growth and built for usability. So I'm really pleased with, you know, having these put together and working with Kathy, you know, to find funding sources for these projects to see, you know, if we can find the funds and, you know, probably have a city match if, you know, there's council approval and whatnot for these projects going forward. So I'm really excited, you know, to have that in the works. And it's been very interesting working with the P&D engineers on the new building conceptual design and for the composting facility. So that's really exciting to see these go forward. So that's all I've got. If you've got any questions for me, I'll be happy to take them.
Thank you, Paul. Do any council members have a question for Paul on his report? Very detailed. I like the photos of the, or the drawings and so forth included. Okay, thanks, Paul. That's a very comprehensive report, and we appreciate the good work of the department as ever.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll move on then to our city treasurer, Ben Sadler, with monthly financials. Ben, welcome.
Thank you, Mike. So first, on my report, I just wanted to correct something I put in here. I put that I thought that we might or might not reach the 750,000 a threshold of state and federal funds for this fiscal year. And so perhaps we should go forward with our own audit. But after spending the weekend with Phoebe, we realized that for fiscal year 23, we absolutely will exceed that threshold. And so rather than us doing our own audit this year and then being forced to do an audit next year, perhaps we should just wait for next year. And then as far as the financials go, the only few things that I highlighted here was just I wanted to point out that this is kind of our richest time of year. We've just received all the money for the third quarter. And so right now everything looks great. We've actually taken in almost 80% of our expected tax income for the entire year, with still obviously much more of the year to go, two-thirds of the year still to go. While at the same time, if you go to the payroll expenses, you'll see that we've only spent 31.3%. So I think that as the fiscal year progresses, we will spend that money down. The other thing is that we currently have quite a bit of money in our bank account, much more so than we should have. But I believe that the NCO tonight for $549,000 will be bringing that down, and that our unrestricted funds that we have currently that we're holding for different projects that we've already funded equals up to $1 million. So a lot of the money in the bank is actually that $1 million that hasn't been spent or moved back out. So if anyone has any questions, I'll do my best to try to answer them. I'd like to thank Phoebe Vanslow one more time for coming out. And we spent the last 3 days doing everything we could to get everything back to where it should have been in the first place. And so thank you to Phoebe for all the help that she's given us.
Yes, and thanks to you both for all that hard work over the holiday weekend. You guys were in here working hard and making use of her time over here, and it's really beneficial. Do any council members have a question for Treasurer Ben? Shelley.
Thank you, Ben. I was wondering that threshold of $750,000 in state and federal funds, which triggers an audit, and then it's in the fourth paragraph of your summary, or if we should have the accounting firm review our books, is that audit process the same whether we meet it or not? I mean, is there a different process of reviewing our books other than the formalized audit?
No, if we asked our accountants to come in and audit our books, they would basically make sure that we were doing best practices, that we were doing things right, and then anything that we weren't, they would say, these are things that you should be doing differently. Let's fix this up, let's clean this up and do it this way. As far as the required audit, that is because we will have taken in and spent, it looks like about $943,000 worth of federal and state funds. And so the state, I guess it's the state or the federal government, one or the other. Mike, can you?
Yeah, I think it's federal, and that if you're over that, it triggers a single audit, as they call it.
Right. So it won't necessarily, it's not like the feds are going to come in here and audit us. We're still going to perform the audit, have our accountants come in and do it, but the scope of work will be different.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Great. Any other questions of our treasurer from his report? Okay. Seeing none, thank you very much. Thanks for the great work to keep us under, you know, our financial house in order. Okay, we'll move on to our city administrator with her general meeting report. She's been busy, I'll tell you. Kathy?
Good evening. Thank you. So my report, which is in the packet. I wanted to start by saying that Karen and I teleconferenced with Alaska Technical Solutions, and we wanted to review our contract with them and discuss the deliverables and the timeliness of the deliverables. I was feeling, as well as some of our employees, that the timeliness of our deliverables weren't necessarily what they should be. And so because of me being new in the position, I requested to review the contract. In the past, there had been a focal point for the troubleshooting tickets. So for council members and others, employees, Karen and Ben are who you submit your trouble tickets through so that they can pay attention to them and see if they've been responding or answered or not. And we will continue to work with them. They used to have quarterly visits before COVID, and they would come out and they would work with, for example, the library, who does have a lot of equipment and has sometimes some trouble, you know, trouble issues in the library. And so we're hoping that the quarterly visits will start again so that we can get our needs met and get some of our issues resolved. For example, I had them come out and look at the, we had a suggestion about having a booster down at the dock and maybe some cameras at the beach in the bathrooms because of some incidences we had. And they came and they examined all of that, but we're waiting for them to give us their report on how they think we can resolve those things. So that's what precipitated the contract review. We've had to work a lot on getting access to signatory authority for our FNBA and other accounts. With the resignation of the treasurer and Ben coming on board and me coming on board and new council members, there's a litany of signatory processes for all of our accounts, and the security of which seems to be better than our federal government. That's taken a little bit of work to get everybody corralled to get signatures. I've continued to work on our septic holding tank project with tank procurement and the agreement with the septic company. We're currently waiting on a proposal from Juno Septic. I intend to hopefully secure the purchase of the tanks with an earnest money agreement, but that would be contingent upon them signing an agreement for services that they would follow through on, and an ADEC permit that John Barry is working on for septage holding. Councilmember Driscoll thought this was exciting and we should put a notice out to the community, which we have done. But we want the community to understand that this is sort of, it's not really infancy stages, but it's going to depend on the results of an agreement and the legalities and the follow through of the company who's offering to do this. If we can't satisfactorily get some sort of agreement that these things are indeed going to happen, which includes bringing things on the ferry back to Juneau, then it might not happen, but we're working on it because it's what we have right now. And until we can get a bigger and better way of dealing with septage in the community, this is what we're working on. We just don't want everybody to get terribly excited about it until we can get the agreements in place. So want to thank Chief Martinez for instructing a first aid CPR class last Friday to all of the city staff. We all got certified to save people. Ben held down the fort because he's already an ETT and he's already current on his certification. But thank you, Sol, for doing that. We're reviewing where the city has AEDs, the expiration dates of the pads, and where else we might need to place one. Apparently right now there's not one at the DRC, which would be a good place to have one. And there's not one at the community chest. So we want to look at perhaps having AED units at those two locations. There is one at the library, there's one here, and of course one at the fire hall. We also want to review everybody's first aid kits and their contents to see that they're current and they have what we need. I reviewed and provided edits to the memorandum of understanding with search drafted by Mayor Taylor. We filled in for early and absentee voting when the clerk wasn't available. And I continue to wade through FEMA invoices and other documentation for reimbursement. Now, part of this will be the funds that we were just talking about that put us above the threshold, and hopefully we'll get them in this fiscal year. It takes a while dealing with FEMA. And now that Ben's here and getting a handle on our accounts, we can pull the reports to identify the past invoices from those projects related to the flood and the recent mitigation measures that we've done. We need to get all those final reports together and get those requests in. And the minutia of these things is pretty scary. I submitted the basic information for the Good River Bridge repair and embankment stabilization into a project intake survey. And that begins the process to allow DOT and the Alaska Municipal League to help applicants sort out the prospective funding sources. Jim Mack has submitted the bike path project into the same intake survey. And that submission is what is considered our notice of intent to apply for funds, wherever those funds may be. It helps to determine which federal grants and state programs the project may be eligible for. And I've been in contact with our grant writer, who's on board to help us write proposals for infrastructure and other funding sources once they're identified. We have meetings next week with DOT to evaluate the projects and determine the best course of action to apply. Actually, the meeting's tomorrow with the DOT folks. We had a preliminary meeting with Dana Herndon at Senator Murkowski's office on the DRC capital projects that you just heard Paul talk about, which are substantial, and how to prioritize those funding requests. Do we submit separate requests? Do we submit an overall large request? It's been mentioned to us that it may be better to just do a one big request, especially for congressional earmarks, which are back in play. Of course, all this is going to depend on the election outcome, which, you know, we're hoping will work in our favor. And we're awaiting finished drawings from PND for the new compost facility. So that project will pretty much be ready to submit if we decide to apply for just one project at a time. And those are forthcoming pretty soon. So once we have those, we're going to be not shovel ready, but we're going to be ready to apply for funding as much as we can be. So City Hall's having electrification issues. The line that goes to the fire hall is about 30 years old, and that's what's supplying our power over here. And we have a lot of, especially in my office, every time the copy machine fires up, the lights flicker. Some days we've had power for all of our technology cutting in and out and clicking, and other UPCs having issues. John Nixon's working with AP&T and discussing the best approach to upgrade and replace the line moving forward. Of course, we continue to feel calls and complaints about the roads. Susan Warner stopped by City Hall to advise the mayor and I that she'd be convening a neighborhood work group of local property owners in the Pine Willow Way subdivision to address drainage and road issues. It's really hard to maintain the roads over there when everything's so saturated and backed up that it's not flowing properly in the direction it needs to be. So it's really hard to keep those roads maintained with the ditches backing up. So she's going to convene a neighborhood group of property owners and present their findings to us with supposedly multiple resolutions to correct the issue. Might need a hydrology study to be conducted by the city to make it work, but we're hoping there will be an amicable resolution coming forward from her ad hoc working group that she's working on. Held a staff meeting for employees to check in and provide updates for their departments, and reviewed some policies and procedures, and we welcomed Ian into his new position at the DRC. Been working with Sol a little bit on different projects and grant requests coming forward. And we're also looking at online payments for various city functions. We're checking to see who FNBA uses or recommends to implement this, so we don't have to pay. We can, if we have our own person or company that does that, then we don't have to pay the web developer to host it. We can just have a radio button that connects to it. And a lot of people would like to be able to just do online payments. It would make their lives easier, and it would make it easier for timeliness for us to get those payments. So we'll still require reconciliation by the treasurer, but we're hoping it'll make life easier for people who have to make payments. So that's my report. And if anybody has any comments or suggestions, I welcome them.
Any questions from council members for our city administrator? They're all afraid to ask anything. It's so much stuff you're getting done.
One more thing.
Well, it looks like Councilmember Driscoll has a question. Then we'll come back to you for the other item. Councilmember Driscoll.
Yes, thank you. You can let me know if this is appropriate for me to ask at this time or not. But in terms of the septic tank project, I was, after having read some of the comment that came to the council, I'm wondering if the proposal would allow for the potential for any type of subcontracting possibilities with the Juno septic. So for example, if it was to be written into the contract that subcontracting was possible, if there were businesses in Gustavus that could do some part of the process.
I'm not sure I heard you exactly clearly. You're wondering about subcontracting straight to Juno Septic by businesses, or is that what you said?
Well, what I'm wondering is if Juno Septic could potentially have a benefit of subcontracting with businesses in Gustavus that have the trucks to be able to get the material from the people's houses, and then subcontract it so that Juno Septic is responsible for the whole overall project and getting our overall need of getting it taken out to Juno to be, you know, legally disposed of, et cetera, and treated. But if there's any potential of subcontracting within the contract that we have with the Juno Septic.
And that was one discussion that we've actually had, not necessarily just yet with Juno Septic. There are several issues, not the least of which has to do with weight limitations of transport over the dock or onto the ferry. And so, yes, that is a possibility of working out where maybe there would be a local business that would pump it into the tanks, and then they would come and they would remove it and take it to Juno. So that's not out of the question. We haven't gotten there yet.
Great, thank you. And then I did have one question on the AEDs. And that question on the AEDs was, I don't know if we thought of, is there any way to have some in other parts of town other than it's just being concentrated in the, you know, around City Hall and the post office and the library, if there's any way to have one in a different section of the town?
One of the discussions we had was asking Toshko if they had one, and if they did not, if they might be willing to have one there. Oh, the community center has one? Okay, so I don't know if the school has one, Sol, do you know? So the school has one, community center, the library. Where there isn't one, we don't believe, is at Toshko, and we intend to talk to them about that.
Right, because Toshko is the exact spot I was thinking of. So thank you.
I think Sol has Chief Martinez has a comment here on that.
It's worth mentioning, they are worth, they cost about a couple grand per, so it does cost a pretty penny to purchase, and it's kind of spread around too, so.
Okay, thanks. Any other questions for our city administrator? Did you have another item you wanted to add?
Yeah, I had one more item. So just so folks know, you know, nobody's gone to the Alaska Municipal League annual conference for the last couple of years because of COVID. You did?
Yep.
Oh, well, Kyle went, but but not many people have attended. And with new council members and me being new and Ben being new, and, you know, it's a very good training. And you know, our municipal clerk, we will be going in November. And so City Hall might be closed for part of the day.
December, right?
Or sorry, December. Yes, fifth, December. December 5th. We might be closed for part of the day while we're out of here. Mayor Taylor's offered to hold down the fort, and Sol might be able to come over for a few hours at a time. But it, we may have to close down for a few hours out of that 1 week, the week of the 5th. So just wanted to make people aware of that. Oh, and the work session will be the 1st on a Thursday rather than on a Monday. So I wanted to point that out, that we're heading there. And with all of these infrastructure projects on the line, it's a really good place to convene and meet up with folks who can help us with that. So.
Okay. Thank you. And thank you for all the great work. Sure makes things go more smoothly here, and we're getting a lot done. So thanks a lot. That's the end of our staff reports. That takes us to public comment on non-agenda items. And this is a period for non-agenda comment only. So if you have a comment or something you'd like to bring to the attention of the council as a member of the public, and give us your views on something that is not on our agenda for tonight, this is the time. And if you're online, you can click the participants button and raise your hand. I think most people know the drill on that who are online here. And or unmute your phone, and the clerk will add you to the list and remute you until it's your turn to speak. Please state your full name when speaking so we can get it into the record, and refrain from speaking if your comments have already been addressed by another speaker. And of course, we'll be respectful in our language to everybody here. You'll have this opportunity, and then again, another again at the end of the meeting. Do any members of the public have a comment on a non-agenda item at this time? Okay, I guess we spent more time on my introduction than on the comments. Thank you. We'll have another opportunity at the end, and if you think of something. That takes us to our consent agenda, and we have four items on it. The first is a certificate of records destruction. This is our the monthly item that, well, we do it every month as the clerk follows our records maintenance process and weeds out the stuff that has aged out. And so there's some things on that list for accounts payable, for reading files and that sort of thing that are on that destructed this month. In addition to that, so we will approve that within the consent agenda. There is also the FY 23-10 endowment grant fund transfer introduction. That's an NCO to move $36,017.18 from our endowment fund account to the checking account that we use for making payments for the endowment fund grants. So that's the thing that we do every year at this time. We move the money that's been approved to be offered in grants for the year. So then the next is to introduce NCO FY 23-11 departmental budgets. And that's some sort of housekeeping stuff, funding or boosting some funding in some maintenance accounts for some items that have come up. And we're also increasing our budgeting for travel and training. When we did the budget for this year, we were looking kind of at previous years, most recent years during the pandemic when we didn't do much travel and training, and we have a little more planned now. And so we need to provide a little more funding for that. And we also have more new staff going to training, and we have council members who will be going to AML training and the like. So we need to have enough money in the budget line to cover this sort of stuff this year. And so that's covered in that NCO that will be introduced for a public hearing next month. And then the last item is another NCO introduction, FY23-12. We're doing a transfer from our checking account to the AMLIP account for capital long-term savings, and we're moving the $500-something thousand that we have been refunded from Fish and Wildlife for the Grandpa's Farm Road Bridge. They made that payment immediately when we got the Kathy and Ben got the request into them, and we got it immediately. So we're pleased to have that money back. We had transferred money to cover the bridge payments out of our long-term savings, and so we could pay the contractor promptly, which we did, and now Fish and Wildlife has promptly paid us. So this moves that money back into capital long-term savings to be recycled for another project. So we are introducing that one on the consent agenda this month with public hearing for next month. So that's the list. Do any members of the public wish to have any of these items removed from the consent agenda and put into new business? If so, please raise your hand. Okay, seeing none, do any council members wish to move any of these items from the consent agenda? Okay, seeing none, are there any objections to adopting the consent agenda by unanimous consent? Okay, I see no objections. So the consent agenda is adopted by unanimous consent. That moves us on to ordinances for public hearing. And we begin with item 13, which is FY23-07, providing for the amendment of City Ordinance Title 6, City Departments and Contracted Services, Section 03.040, Services Provided. And what this does, it makes a few edits to our Title 6 under the solid waste section, but the primary thing that it does for us is to give us the authority to handle septage as part of our solid waste stream. That septage handling was not included in the authorities that we adopted when we originally set up the city and took on the function of the DRC. So this is a new function for us for which we'll be spending public money, and we can't spend public money on things that we don't have the authority to do. So this ordinance allows us to take on that authority. And so I will open the floor to public testimony for or public hearing on adopting ordinance FY23-07. And it is 7:54 as we open public hearing. Do any members of the public wish to comment on this agenda item? Okay, I'm not seeing any hands pop up, so we'll close public hearing It's still 7:54. And do any council members have any comments on this agenda items? I have Council Member Owens. We need a motion. Well, that's right. We need a motion first before we have, now that we've gone back to the council. So we have a motion on this. Looks like I'm supposed to do the motion. So I move to amend City of Gustavus Ordinance FY23-07, page 51 of the packet, line one to do, oops, that's excuse me, I'm starting to read a proposed amendment to it. So I move to approve FY23-07, providing for the amendment of City Ordinance Title VI, City Departments and Contracted Services, Section 03.040, Services Provided, as introduced at the October 10, 2022 meeting. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, it's been moved by Mayor Taylor and seconded by Vice Mayor Bishop. To approve FY23-07, providing for the amendment of City Ordinance Title VI, City Departments and Contracted Services, Section 03.040, Services Provided. If council members, the floor is open for your comments. And Council Member Shelley Owens.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to put forward the following amendment. I move to amend City of Gustavus Ordinance FY23-07, page 51 of the packet, line one, to delete the word properly and replace it with legally as follows: storage of septic waste and legally permitted holding tanks to be disposed of in accordance with all applicable state and federal laws, et cetera. So I wanted to just swap out the word properly with the word legally.
Okay, do we have any seconds? Well, I'll second that. So it's been moved by Councilmember Owens and seconded by Mayor Taylor to delete the word properly and replace it with legally as follows: one, storage of septic waste in legally permitted holding tanks to be disposed of in accordance with all applicable federal, state, local laws, etc. Is there any council comment on this amendment?
Could I give my reason? Just that I thought the word properly permitted was ambiguous. I didn't know who would be the permitting entity. Thanks to the administrator who suggested the word legally, which satisfies my concern.
Okay. Yeah, that whole text was originally provided to us by the city attorney, but to me, this change seems to make good sense. Any other comments on this?
Yeah, this is Jim Mack. Okay, I think it's a great suggestion.
Okay, great. Sorry, I missed seeing you there. Okay, any other comments on this? Madam Clerk, may we have a roll call vote on the amendment, please?
Councilmember Driscoll?
Yes.
Councilmember Makoviak?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Bishop?
Yes.
Mayor Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Owens?
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Motion passes with all members in favor.
Thank you. And that'll bring us back to the main motion. Is there any further comment on the main motion? If not, Madam Clerk, may we have a roll call vote on the main motion, please?
Councilmember Councilmember Makoviak?
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Driscoll?
Yes.
Councilmember Owens?
Yes.
Mayor Taylor?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Bishop?
Yes.
Okay, motion passes as amended with all in favor.
Okay, thank you. That will give us the legal authority to proceed to solve, we hope, the septage handling problem in the community. We're not sure what that solution will, what shape that'll take, and it may change over time, but at least we're positioned now to make some progress on it and work towards a solution. The next item is item 14. This is FY23-08 NCO capital project funding. And this one, this 14 and 15 are a two-part move. And we'll do them first one, then the other. But what this does is provide funding that is sourced from the ARPA Act, the which is funding that we have received from the American Rescue Plan Act for use on items that are public health and safety. And that money goes into our, or has already been received, and it's sitting in our checking account. It is currently shown as revenue to the city. And so it was revenue that we were that we have in place to offset other expenses in the operating budget. But since this is a capital item, we are going to remove money from, we're going to remove the amount of money that we need for the to install the tanks and. From the operating budget, and then reappropriate it in the second step to the capital project, to this particular capital project. But because of the way that it's set up, it has to be accounted. We have to do it in two steps. I'm going to move we had originally planned to move $30,000 on this, and I'm going to move instead a substitute for the motion that we introduced last month, which changes the amount to $37,500. And the reason for that is that as we've had our engineering project manager, John Berry, working on this, and he's determined that we need to anchor these tanks due to the high water or relatively high water level, groundwater level on the site at the DRC. And so there's some extra cost there. And it appears that we need to have a little bit more money in the budget to make sure we can cover the contracting costs of getting these things in, not just purchased, but installed. So I will move to adopt the substitute.
Point of order.
Yes. Can I do that? Oh, public hearing first. Yes. Okay. Thanks. So I will be moving to adopt the substitute to change the amount for that. But we'll open public hearing on this item at 8:03. Do any members of the public have any comments on the adopting the NCO to move these funds? Okay, seeing none, we'll bring it back to the council and we'll close the hearing then at 8:04. And we'll bring it back to the floor for the council to comment. And so I'll begin by moving to adopt the substitute in the packet for ordinance FY23-08 7 NCO. On to the right page here. Providing for for capital project funding. Getting ahead of myself here. 08 NCO, capital project funding for the septage project. Do I have a second for that motion?
I'll second that.
Okay, thank you. It's been moved by Mayor Taylor and seconded by Councilmember Jim Muscoviac to approve FY23-08 NCO capital project funding as substituted by the mayor in the amount of $37,500. Are there any comments from council members on this item? Okay, seeing none, Madam Clerk, may we have a roll call vote, please?
Councilmember Taylor.
Yes.
Councilmember Driscoll.
Yes.
Councilmember Owens.
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor.
You mean Mayor Taylor,
I mean
this
Mayor
time?
Mayor Taylor. Oh, no, I'm
messing up. Yes. Thank you. Yes.
Councilmember Muscoviac.
Yes.
Vice Mayor Bishop.
Yes.
Okay, motion passes with all members in favor.
Thank you. Then as we move on to the second of this convoluted process, it makes it a little hard to describe. This is FY23-09 NCO, for which we also have a substitute that the mayor has suggested. And this is the part that removes the $37,500 from the ops budget and moves it into a position so that we can put it into the capital budget. So I believe Councilmember Brian Taylor has a motion on this. And if you want to just move the substitute, you may, or you can move the original one and I can amend.
I'll move to adopt the mayor's substitute for ordinance FY23-09 NCO.
Thank you. Do we have a second,
please? I'll second it.
Okay, it's been moved by council member Brian Taylor and seconded, I believe, by Councilmember Driscoll to approve FY23-09 NCO departmental budgets as introduced 10-10-2022. Do any member, let's see, we need to open the, we need to have.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch it. We did not do the.
We didn't do public hearing, so we can do that now. At least they know what we've got. What we got before us, sort of. Do any members of the public wish to speak on this item? It will open public hearing at 8:08. Okay, seeing none, we'll close it at 8:08. And I'll return to the council floor for any public, comments from council members. Okay, seeing none, Madam Clerk, may we have a roll call vote, please?
Vice Mayor Bishop?
Yes.
Councilmember Driscoll?
Yes.
Councilmember Muscoviac?
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Mayor Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Owens?
Yes.
Motion passes with all members in favor.
Okay, thank you. With that convoluted process, now we've moved funds that came in from the American Rescue Plan Act for health and safety use here in the city, and transferred it out of our operating budget and into the capital funding budget so that we can spend money on that project when we know for sure what we're going to be doing. So, okay, so that finishes the public hearing portion. We've been going for an hour and 10 minutes. Without objection, I'd like to call for a 5-minute break, and we'll reconvene at 8:15. There are no objections. Okay, thanks. All right, it's 8:15, so we'll call the meeting back to order, and we move on to new business, the new business section of our agenda, to item 16, which is a resolution CY22-23 supporting Alaska Airlines Essential Air Service Compensation Application for 2023 to 2024. And I'm going to begin with a motion. Since I wrote this resolution, I'll make the motion. I move to adopt resolution CY22-23 supporting the application for compensation by Alaska Airlines under the Essential Air Service Program to serve Gustavus for May 2023 through April 2025. And may I have a second on that?
I'll second that.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded by the mayor and the vice mayor to adopt resolution CY22-23 supporting the application for compensation by Alaska Airlines under the Essential Air Service Program to serve Gustavus for May 2023 through April 2025. And at this point, I'll read the resolution. And I guess I'll give you a brief introduction. We got a letter from Alaska Airlines asking us to support their application. And they send these letters, I'm sure, to all the communities that they serve through this program. This program comes up for renewal every couple of years. And Alaska Airlines has been serving Gustavus since the first time I came here in 77 under this program. And it really has made it possible for them to provide jet service to Gustavus and Glacier Bay for the every summer. So our resolution reads, a resolution by the city of Gustavus supporting the application for compensation by Alaska Airlines under the Essential Air Service Program to serve Gustavus for May 2023 through April 2025. Whereas Gustavus, Alaska has benefited from passenger jet service for decades before incorporation as the city of Gustavus. And whereas the Essential Air Service Program subsidies have made reliable airliner passenger service feasible and economical for residents and visitors alike. And whereas summer activities in Gustavus and Glacier Bay greatly increase air travel into and out of Gustavus. And whereas the community, its residents, and businesses depend on summer visitors as an essential economic driver. And whereas many summer visitors are either unable or unwilling to travel on smaller air taxi aircraft for a visit to Gustavus and Glacier Bay. And whereas having multiple competitive means of transport into Gustavus, particularly during the busy summer season, provides flexibility in travel opportunities. And whereas Alaska Airlines has provided reliable service to Gustavus with the support of the Essential Air Service Program, therefore, be it resolved that the city of Gustavus supports the application of Alaska Airlines for compensation under the Essential Air Service Program to provide service to Southeast Alaska communities, including Gustavus, for the period of May 2023 through April 2025, and encourages acceptance of the terms of the application. We will open the floor for public comment on this item. Yeah, I've made the motion already in its second, didn't we? Okay, yep. So do any members of the public wish to comment on this item? Okay, seeing none, do any council members wish to comment on this resolution? Okay, looks pretty non-controversial. Madam Clerk, may we have a roll call vote, please?
Councilmember Owens?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Bishop?
Yes.
Councilmember Driscoll?
Yes.
Mayor Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Makoviak?
Yes.
Motion passes with all members in favor.
Thank you. The clerk will be sending our resolution on to Alaska Airlines and the state of Alaska in support of their application tomorrow. That brings us to item 17, the approval of the GVFD Code Blue grant proposal. We'll have a motion in a second here, and then we can actually have a call on the fire chief to give us a brief description of this too. So I'd like to call on Vice Mayor Kyle Bishop for a motion on this item, please.
Yeah, I move to approve the submission of a Gustavus Volunteer Fire Department Code Blue grant application to purchase a Lucas chest compression system.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, it's been moved by Vice Mayor Kyle Bishop and seconded by Councilmember Shelley Owens to approve the submission of a Gustavus Volunteer Fire Department Code Blue grant application to purchase a Lucas chest compression system. And I'll call on the chief in a sec here to comment on that. But I'll note that the reason that we need to do an approval on this is that the grant request exceeds $15,000, and we have a policy and procedure that says that the council will approve grant requests that exceed $15,000. Chief, would you like to give us a description of this?
Mm-hmm.
Well, first off, I want to say thank you for letting me add this last minute. The price of the Lucas chest compression actually did catch me a surprise at the beginning of the year when I was looking into it. It was like $13,000-$14,000. It has gone up since then. However, what the Lucas chest compression system is essentially what takes place of someone doing compressions on a chest, which is the most labor intensive out of a CPR event. Whoever has taken our CPR class can attest that, and it doesn't get any easier if you're doing an actual real person. In order to allow breaks, we have to have multiple people taking turns on doing compressions. The Lucas chest compression system gets rid of that need. Essentially, it moves from a person to an electronic device to basically push on someone's chest, and it's battery operated, and it does consistent chest depth and release. Whereas a human over time does get tired. Studies have shown that I'm in Seattle with their fire department that after one set of chest compressions that the individual was not able to provide adequate chest compressions, and not as, and that person is well fit and has done it multiple times a week. So that's nothing that's against Seattle Department. It's just saying that if they can't do it, they not generally everybody can expect it. And also there's also multiple studies that the Lucas chest compression device also provides a higher chance of receiving ROSC, which basically it's able to get that person back, able to have his own heart beating itself. And we'll be able to move the individual from one place to another while this device is pumping on the chest, which means that we can get them to the airport and have and get them to the medevacs sooner versus where we were in order for us to move the patient, you would either have to stop compressions or hopefully we achieve get the person back with the chest compression as chest compressions go move along. I'll be asking the Code Blue Grant committee to for us for about $21,831. It does require us to have a 10% grant match, which is $2,183.10. The way the Code Blue Grant works, it does take about a year to move through the system. So it'll be in the next fiscal year before we actually have to come up with the money. We still have yet to receive the funds from last year's Code Blue Grant I applied for. We did have actually quite a bit of success in Code Blue before. Our big purchase is our ambulance. We actually did purchase our ambulance via our Code Blue Grant, also the multiple different types of equipment as well. It does require a little bit, maybe like a letter of approval from the city saying like, yeah, approve this, which I can, sometimes I've been going through the checklist. Other than that, I'll be willing to entertain some questions.
Any questions for Chief Martinez? Vice Mayor Bishop?
Do we have a system now that we use? And if we do, could you explain the difference?
It's us. So right now in a code event, we basically do it all call, and generally everybody knows how to do CPR, and we going on chest, and like any class and the professor says, we go on the middle of the chest and pump the chest hard and fast, basically the beats of a And we the protocol is we have to do at least 30 minutes. And there are some other items on that that we don't have to go 30 minutes, but generally it was a medical induced code. It's 30 minutes and, or unfortunately, if we don't have the, if we're too tired to actually do compressions, adequate compressions, and that could also be a reason. And I would rather have this device able to do the full 30 minutes or longer than say, yeah, we can't continue on because we just can't continue because we're too tired. So if that answers your question.
I guess I'll like to clarify my question was if we currently had a device or not. I was of the understanding that we did, but we just don't use it that often.
We might have, but we have it stored somewhere and nobody knows how to use it. I think what we are thinking of is something that it does still require a human powered thing, and you still have to set it up there. This Lucas chest device is totally separate. It's basically a big U with a backboard, and the person you put attached to the arms on it. I believe there is pictures of it in my document. And it holds it in place as well. I haven't really looked long strange at the device we had, if it even still works.
I suppose we might add that they do have a monitor that's on the patient that has an integral AED in it, and that's monitoring oxygen and everything, and the heart rate and all that. So this Mayor just Taylor? Makes up for the compression part.
Mayor Taylor?
Madam Clerk?
Did you forget to do public comment?
Oh, yeah, I guess we did. Thank you. Well, at least we wanted to have the chief explain it first, and then I was going to go to. So thank you for reminding me that I still had that open. So, okay. Thank you, Chief, for the explanation. One item, I believe the medical director has made a recommendation on this too.
Dr. Vaught, our medical director, did send an email to Karen, and she forwarded to the council to recommending us to purchase the device, and right. He has approved.
Okay, thank you. Okay, with that description of what this is about, we'll open the public comment. Do any members of the public have any comment on this agenda item? Okay, I'm not seeing any. Then we'll come back to the council. Do any council members have any further questions on this or comments? And we still have the chief here. You want to ask him anything? Councilmember Owens.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, so I would just point out the council did receive a letter from Dr. Vaught, the medical director for Gustavus Volunteer Fire Department, and referred to recent studies which confirm that the outcome of cardiac arrest is markedly improved with automated chest compression, expansion, and heads up position. He also expresses a caveat that we must have sufficient numbers of well-trained volunteers to operate this system. So if there's anything that that the chief can request of us, our support for that, to ensure that you got the adequate number of trained volunteers to use the device.
I mean, it is something that we can add into our EMS drill nights every other Tuesday. And it's something that I think it's a lot easier to learn than we think. I actually have used it, not on the real person, but I have used it in training over in Juneau when I took my EMT2 class. And it is pretty easily usable. It's pretty user-friendly. It's three or four buttons. and it's just two pieces. So if that helps a little bit.
Hey, thank you. Any other comments from the council or questions for the chief? Vice Mayor?
Just thank you for the clarification, because in the past, ones that I've worked with, like on ski patrol, you end up not using them because they're usually kind of more of a pain in the butt. But in a real situation, you kind of get down to it and forget you have this device handy. So looking at this one and getting a little bit more information from you is insightful. That's not just going to be something that's sitting on the shelf.
Yeah, no, I mean, to kind of clarify, they have kind of quite this, they've been coming out since 2003, I believe, in a little bit of history, and it used to be error automated. And now they moved over to battery operated. And they have gone quite a ways in what they were before. So it's a lot more reliable, I think, than we were in the past. And
okay, any other questions, comments? Brian, Councilmember Taylor.
Hey, Sol, thanks for coming to share this with us. I think it's a sensible thing, especially considering it only requires a 10% match. But I did have a couple questions and wondering if you could give me some insight about, do you know of what the appreciable life of this device is going to be? Is this something we're looking at, you know, 10 years from now, having to get a new one, or like 3 years from now, having to get a new battery? Kind of just wondering what the maintenance costs or replacement costs look like on this. And then also mostly a point of curiosity of mine. Do you know how often this is potentially going to get used? Do we have lots of code events in Gustavus? Again, just kind of a curiosity. Thanks.
So it's kind of hard to say how many code events without reaching HIPAA in this small town. Unfortunately, we had a couple last year, and then we're fortunate enough we haven't had one this year, for exception of 4th of July, which unfortunately we didn't do CPR on. As far as maintenance costs go, if I am only thinking of devices, the only replacement would be the batteries, and that would be like any other tools that requires batteries every, and I would think maybe they last at least 5 years. That's my take on it. As far as the device that goes, unless something really drastically changes the technology, I don't see us getting a new one within 10 years. I expect it lasts longer than that.
It helps. Yeah, that's great. Thanks.
Okay. Any other comments, questions from the council? Okay. Madam Clerk, may we have a roll call vote, please?
Councilmember Owens?
Yes.
Member Driscoll?
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Makoviak?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Bishop?
Yes.
Mayor Taylor?
Yes.
Motion passes with all members in favor.
Okay, we wish you success on that grant. And having done a few CPRs on the team, I'm sure it's going to be a very valuable tool and may just save life. Okay, well, that moves us on to city council reports. And before I give my report, do any council members wish to report on any special projects they're doing for the council? Some of you have taken on particular things. If you'd like to share anything with us, now's the time. I'm not seeing any hands come up on the screen, so give you a brief run through on my mayor's report, which you have in the packet there. On October 14th, I met with Noble Johnson of, he's the head guy at Search, and our, and Dr. Rod Vaught, who is both the medical director for our fire department and serves as a liaison for Search to the community to improve service and relationships between the community and Search. And the purpose of the meeting was to outline terms for a memorandum of understanding between the clinic and the city. And it would identify how we operate both with regard to supporting emergency response in the community. It outlines what the responsibilities of the GVFD are versus responsibilities of the clinic and when we would use the clinic and so forth, what role the clinic would play and would not play, by the way. Then it also will cover other opportunities for serving the community, such as public health communications and programs and that sort of thing. So I have drafted, drawing from the comments in that meeting and the outline we did in that meeting, I drafted a proposed memorandum of understanding with Search. Dr. Vaught reviewed it, made some edits to it, and then he submitted it to Noble Johnston for Search to look it over and see if they have any additions or things they would like to put into it. And that's where it is at this point. We haven't had it returned yet from Noble Johnston at Search. So we'll be following up with him probably before the end of this month to see if they have had a chance to review it yet and make some comments. And then we hope to get it into a final form that I can sign as mayor and Search can sign as their acceptance of it. And it'll put us on a more clear understanding as we change staff, perhaps change mayors or fire chiefs or clinic providers. It'll serve as an anchor for the next 5 years about what our relationship is about, how we will share our responsibilities here. Kathy's discussed the septage service enough. I don't think I need to add anything to that unless you've got a question for me at the end on that. We finished the Tong Road Drainage Improvement Project by in which we put a 40-foot culvert in under the end of Tong Road at the entrance to the Country Inn driveway. Glacier Bay Construction did that project and got it done just before the freeze up and managed to do it with a bit high water and groundwater, but they got the culvert in at the right position and the right elevation. And that replaces a culvert that was nearly completely sedimented in. So drainage from the ditch along the west end of Tong Road, which had been impeded by that culvert, is now able to flow properly. And during the December 2020 flood, we had quite a bit of backup from that culvert and it got sedimented in at that time. So we have a better culvert in place now and it's clean and should serve us well. Glacier Bay Construction has also been working effectively to keep our roads as drivable. We're in the tough time of year when we have a mix of heavy rains at times and then freeze up and makes it a little bit difficult to keep the roads smooth. They worked real hard to get them smooth just before the last freeze up. And some of them are probably still staying frozen at this point, but we don't know for how long, but we're trying to keep them as smooth as we can during the tough time of year. And they'll also be doing some additional brush cutting. They did a lot of brush cutting along Dolly Varden and all the roads off of Dolly Varden. And that brush cutting makes it a lot easier to plow snow because we can push the snow off the shoulder without being impeded by the brush. And so because we included snow plowing in our annual maintenance contract this year for the first time, we don't have to do a new contract to provide for snow plowing this year. Glacier Bay Construction will just proceed to plow snow under the annual maintenance contract. And related to road maintenance, I wanted to thank Janusz Kunat and his Bite Neck crew for relocating the junction posts along Wilson Road, where we did the Wilson Road Drainage Improvement Project, big ditch extension up to Hemlock. Their two posts had been located in the ditch alignment, so we need to have them relocated, and they have now located them out of the ditch alignment to a place where they'll be, won't impact either snow plowing or and won't be affected by any high water running down the ditch. So thank you to them for taking care of that. The old post office building, thanks to AP&T's Don Duke and Marty Rogers for installing the power to the building. They trenched the power up to it. We don't have power on at the building. The next step is for John Nixon to install a meter on the box, and then he'll also have to install a new panel on the inside of the service entry. And then we're anticipating probably providing some minimal outlet locations close to that. We have to decide what to do to assure we've got lighting that'll come on in the building. We're trying to avoid a major rewire of the whole building, which would be really expensive at this point and would probably blow the budget that we've got for that building, and provide the amount of electric service that will be adequate for the bike shop. And we want to have that in position when Ken McGowan returns from Antarctica and is ready to start his renovation work on the structure. I had a wonderful meeting on October 24th with Ms. Karen McSpadden's Gustavus School class. And I think she has second through fifth grade in her group. And the students had asked to come to visit us about with their ideas for making improvements to the playground equipment in the Salmon River Park. They noted that the equipment, nice as it is, and I remember that was done some years ago by using an endowment fund grant. But it's as nice as it is, it's really aimed at really small kids. And many of the kids in this class could stand under the monkey bars and just stick their hands right on the bar without even being off the ground. So they couldn't exactly use it. And they wanted a bigger slide and some other, they had a lot of great ideas. And they also wanted to have a nice bench for parents who come along to watch the kids or monitor them while they play. So they thought about the parents. And they also thought about handicapped access to that. They said, one person who sometimes comes to watch them in a wheelchair wasn't able to get up over the heavy wooden rim around the playground area. So they suggested some kind of a ramp there or route from the parking area, which I thought was very thoughtful. So I've agreed to work with them to develop a scoping document, and we're looking into equipment. Vice Mayor Bishop just brought me tonight another nice book with some good examples of playground equipment from one supplier. Beautiful stuff. So we'll be working on this during the winter. I'll work with the class to see if we can come up with a project that captures their vision and and provides a play area there that will be suitable for a wider range of children than the current one is. I attended school district planning meetings in Juneau on October 6th through 7th. I was invited along with other representatives from Gustavus, who included Cam Cacioppo, Karen McSpadden, Jesse Soder, Jen Todd, and her daughter Marina Todd, who was the student representative from here. It was a two-day Chatham School District planning meeting to begin developing a strategic plan for the next 5 years for the district. And I was very impressed with the meeting as it progressed, and with Superintendent Ralph Watkins and the two facilitators from the Association of Alaska School Boards who led the meeting. We developed a new vision statement, mission statement, new goals, and reviewed some of the issues that affected the various schools in the system. It was interesting that there were a lot of shared problems and challenges across for all of the schools, ones that were similar to some of ours, such as the problem of losing students from a small school who moved to a school with more opportunities. I think that meeting was very helpful in getting them started towards a new plan, and I am enthusiastic about the role that Superintendent Ralph Watkins is taking to provide new leadership and to improve and strengthen not just our school but all the schools in the district, and that has a significant impact on us. And if we can get to where we are keeping more students here in Gustavus, keeping their families here, they don't feel that they have to move to have better educational opportunities for their students. And I followed up with a letter to him offering the city's partnership in supporting their programs, although because we are a second-class city, we can't run or fund the school, but we do provide the public library, which is also the school library. And our public library, with its two fine librarians who are former teachers, contribute a lot of benefit to the students of the next door school. With reading programs and story trail and so many other things. The Alaska SLED program that Leanne Weichel introduced to us at the work session are examples. And the city can help complement the existing school programs by partnering with them to make the best use we can of the resources that we have at the library. So I look forward to, I would say our two librarians are even more enthusiastic than I am about those opportunities. And I really appreciate that enthusiasm and leadership from them. We're glad to have Ben Sadler in the position now as treasurer. I have to say he's really hit the ground running. And he's keeping track of the accounts, mastering them, working with Phoebe and also with City Administrator Kathy Leary to make sure the bills are paid and the FEMA reimbursements for the flood damage and so forth are filed. And we're making a lot of progress, and I really appreciate his help. And he's been doing that while also still covering some of the aspects of the Marine Facilities Coordinator position, working with Joe VanderZanden on the movement of the wooden floats and making arrangements for the steel float to move. So I thank both Ben and Joe for that work on the Marine Facilities as well. We had another successful election system. And I really want to recognize our city clerk, Karen Platt. and the election leader, Bree Olson, and their enthusiastic and dedicated team who have made our election process here go so smoothly, both here in City Hall with the support of other staff members here in City Hall for people who came in and voted early, and then also at the community center on the actual polling day. So I think if the elections went as well and smoothly as they do here nationwide, we would have a happier nation, I think, at this time of year. So let us rejoice in our hometown democracy. A couple of things to add since I wrote this, some things that have occurred just in the last few days since last Wednesday's deadline for this. Jim Muscoviac and I completed a letter over the weekend to Senator Murkowski, asking her to help encourage the Department of the Interior to finish up its work to prepare for the startup of the hydroelectric intertie to Bartlett Cove. It's been over a year now since that project was completed. It's frustrated many of us that it has sat idle for 12 months, and the community of Gustavus has perhaps spent an extra $250,000 in electric bills that it wouldn't have spent had we been getting the credit of about 10 or 11 cents a kilowatt hour that we will benefit from once the park goes online. So we are really anxious for them to get the system up and running and to get the park diesels shut off so they're no longer contributing 600 tons of CO2 to the atmosphere every year. That's about how much has been emitted since the project was completed. So we have asked the senator today to, because she has been very interested in this and has pushed this project for the last 10 years, to exert what influence she can to get this the rest of the way through the approval process. And I did learn today from Jake Olson that the DOI, Department of the Interior Legal Department, has finally finished their review, which started about 3 weeks ago. I'm not sure why it took 3 weeks to do it, but apparently today they have finished their review and are sending some final edits to Alaska Power and Telephone for their approval on the agreement. From there, it has to go to the Regulatory Commission of Alaska, but we are encouraging the Park Service and AP&T to fire up that line and start shipping power provisionally, even while the Regulatory Commission of Alaska is doing its final approval on the agreement. We see no reason why they can't be using the intertie now. And in fact, in our view, it should have been in use for months already. But at any rate, we're hoping that will help speed that process. And I thank Jim Muscoviac for his work with me on that letter. Also, over the weekend, or I think Friday, the Alaska Trails Group released their draft SCORP plan. That's the statewide outdoor recreation plan, and it includes trail projects for Southeast. On December 11th, I think it was, of last year, we submitted three trail projects to their original planning for that plan, and one was the bike trail, another was the trail network down at the beach, and a third one was an ATV track or trail system that we proposed be Gustavus's contribution and part of that plan. When the plan came out Friday, I noticed there was no mention of the Gustavus trails in the plan. And so I contacted the guy who was in charge of this. He immediately investigated and found that they had They had received our recommendations, but they had goofed up and dropped it out of the process and had missed getting it into the plan. They will add our plan, our trails to their plan now. So I think it's out for comment now. If people want to comment, they may. And one thing we'll be making sure is that we stay at the table and the Gustavus trails are a part of the southeast portion of the plan. So that's my report. Does anybody have any questions? Councilmember Owens.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Mayor. First of all, I want to commend you and Jim on the letter to Senator Murkowski. It's a great historical review of the intertie. It was very informative to me. I wanted to ask you about the memorandum of understanding with Search. Yep. It sounds like this is the first time that there's been an agreement between, which is really valuable. I was wondering, when will we be available to see it, either in draft or final? I have some sure. things that I would like to see perhaps referenced or included, if at all possible.
Certainly. As soon as I get it back with comments from Search, I can circulate it to the council to have a look at. I would like to have a motion when we're ready to sign off on it from the council approving the plan. I think it'd be important to make sure that everybody's behind it. So
okay, good, thank you.
So thanks. Yeah, I'll be delighted to share it with you once we see what they want to add to it, and then it'll be a more complete document, I think. And I kind of modeled it after a memorandum of understanding that we've had with the fire department and the NPS, and I used that sort of format and simplified it a little bit for this, but because we're not, it's not a federal agency we're dealing with, but I use that as a model. Okay, any other questions, comments? Vice Mayor.
Just thanks for all the work and a thorough report and good catch on the trails thing.
Okay, thanks. Okay, anybody else have any other comments on that? Okay, there's another section here, general city council questions and comments. So it's another opportunity for council members, if there was something else you wanted to bring up or comment on. Okay, I'm not seeing anything else. So that brings us to the final opportunity for public comment on non-agenda items. You remember the drill on that. So do any members of the public, it looks like Janine had her hand raised. Was Janine, council member Bristol, did you have something you want to say first?
Well, just, so the only thing that I would add is that I do think I'm always impressed by the mayor's report, because there is so much that you do. And I just wonder, sometimes I get through the mail in the Gustavus mail that goes out to everyone, for example, the DRC reports that Paul writes. And I just think that the mayor's report could potentially go out in a similar fashion, because I realize there's only like two members of the public that are on Zoom listening to this meeting. And so to get that word out more broadly to the public, I think it would be a really good thing if your mayor's report went out in a similar fashion and a mail mailing.
Thank you. Yeah, we could do that. We could, the clerk could send it out in the news. She does post it on the website. Whether anybody reads it there, I don't know, but I can check with the clerk on what she thinks about handling that. And before it goes out, I'll type an addition on for those items that occurred since the last draft. Madam Clerk, do you have a thought on that? Or she says. Oh, okay. She'll give me an earful later, maybe. Okay. Well, okay. With that then, yes. Oh,
I just wanted to thank you for considering that.
Certainly. Thanks. Any other comments first then from the council again? Then I'll go back to public comment, make sure I didn't miss anybody there. Okay, then we'll go back to public comment on non-agenda items. If there's anybody who wishes to speak up, a few people still tuned in online. Okay, well, then I guess we're ready to adjourn. Thank you all for tuning in to our monthly meeting here, and we wish you all a good evening.
Thank you all.
Thanks.
Good night, everybody.